Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
All right, folks, buckle up. Today, we're taking the Blue Collar BS World Tour International style. We've got a guest who's led teams across three continents, from China to the UK to the good old USA. He's seen it all. PE firms, turnaround startups, and leadership at scale. His passport's got more stamps on it than the Union time card.
And this guy doesn't just talk leadership, he lives it. From backpacking through Asia at 26 to running global teams of nearly 300 people, David Hewitt has seen what hustle looks like across cultures. And he's got a message that'll make every leader stop scrolling and start listening.
Exactly. We're talking about leading older teams. When you're the youngest in the room, building respect through results and learning how to slow down so your team can speed up.
Plus, we dig into the great debate of our time, remote work versus in-office hustle. Can you still innovate when everyone's working from their couch? David's got thoughts, and you'll want to hear them.
So grab your coffee, crack open that Kit Kat, and get ready to hear from a global Gen Xer who's leading the charge one bullocks at a time. This is the Blue Collar BS Podcast, so let's roll.
Welcome back, everyone, to this episode of the Blue Collar BS Podcast. How you doing today, Brad?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle, and Detroit Motor City is doing what today?
It is overcast, rainy, a little on the cooler, warmer side for a nice fall day, but
cooler, warmer side. Perfect.
Cooler, warmer. It's kind of like, you know, when you woke up, you know, there's frost on the ground, but then it heated up. Nothing really, you know, nice overcast, light rain. It's a nice day. It's a nice Perfect. Fall day.
Good for you.
We nice got fall day. A little top golf action later today. So, you know, going to enjoy it.
Nice.
And enjoy it. What do you got going on?
We got high winds going through and blowing all the leaves off the tree right now, which is great. And then we're supposed to have snow tomorrow. So my all my leaves will be covered with snow, and I'd be looking at my lawn going, oh shit, I got to get all that stuff done. And it's not happening today because now we're in that point of where it gets dark at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's horrible. It should be almost dark now.
It is almost dark 30 already. Yes, I agree.
So, Brad, who do we get on the show today?
Today, we have David Hewitt. He is a CEO, entrepreneur, leader, has traveled the world. He has been in North America, Europe, Asia, PE firms, USA, China, Japan, UK. He's been all over the place leading teams up to 272 employees all over the world. And we are blessed to have his ability to be able to share his wisdom, his knowledge, his international experience with our audience today. So, David, thank you for being on today's show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, David, before I forget, which generation do you identify with?
Generation X.
and you confirmed that, correct?
I just asked Siri to confirm that, and they said, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I double checked.
Perfect.
So how about, can you just give us a little bit rundown of your journey around the world a little bit as to how you ended up in where you are today out in Charlotte?
Yes. So born and educated in the UK, but not long into my career, I decided that I wanted a change. I wanted to go explore Asia. I wanted some challenge. And so my goal was to go backpack around Asia and then at the end of it, get a job, which, you know, like most things when you're young, you're kind of bold and you don't think these things through. And looking back on it, it was kind of a big risk. But I pulled it off. So I backpacked around Asia after starting my career in the UK in a commercial role. I then led a startup in China, and that role expanded to Asia Pacific. Then as a general manager, and then my business brought me to the US to do a turnaround. And then from that, I went to another company to do a step change. Then back to Europe for 5 years to be close to family, again in the CEO role. And then, you know, 2 years ago, back to North America. So been a good journey.
That's awesome. And as you've gone through that opportunities, I'm looking, just scrolling through your LinkedIn profile. What part of that journey did you find most challenging and most rewarding at the same time? Or maybe there are different aspects of it.
Yeah, my time in China, because I was in over my head. I was 26 years old. I landed in China, which is ridiculously different to anywhere else, at least that I've experienced. And not only was I managing people for the first time, I was doing it in a different culture, and I was doing it remote from the headquarters. So I certainly recommend international experiences to people to progress their career. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it as their first management role, because doing that at the same time as being in China is tough. So that was really tough, but it was also extremely rewarding. Not only did I kind of learn a lot about management and leadership, but I learned a lot from China. Mm-hmm. And my career would not be where it is today had I not been given that opportunity and also pushed for that opportunity.
Were most of your subordinates or team members that you were leading in China, were they younger, older?
Yeah.
Where were they from that perspective? And then how did they accept foreign leadership would be the other question.
So it was a mixture of people that were probably 10 to 15 years older than me. And then there was a couple of people who were, you know, around the same age, but the majority were older. I mean, I was 26 when I first started that role, and they were tremendously patient with me. I think in hindsight, looking back on it, because I was learning what I was doing on the job. How do they accept me? I think for the same reasons that I've been reasonably successful later in my career is I kind of lead by example and I work hard. And I do what I say. I mean what I say, and I do what I say. And those things I think help them accept me. And of course, the key thing is results. Like quite quickly, we started to be successful, and that helps a tremendous amount. Gives you a lot of credibility when success follows quickly afterwards.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is like the one, from a culture standpoint, but also if you think of the different age demographic standpoint, when you went from the UK to China, the workforce itself, what was kind of like that culture from a work dynamic, like work expectations? Like, you know, we grew up in a society, like we all have our own societal like makeup of what we think work is. How was that different between like what you experienced in the UK versus China?
That's a good question. So in China, they are chasing a dream. Like, you know, we have this saying about the American dream. Like, that's the Chinese dream. Like, every year is a mm-hmm. little bit better in China, but it only is better to those who hustle. And so they would work nonstop. And also, business and personal relationships, they intermingle massively in China. And so there really was no time off. Mm-hmm. You're constantly working. But people were okay with that. There wasn't a lot of complaining about it. I mean, there wasn't a lot of conversation about, well, I'm working in my evening or working on my weekend. They were very committed to doing whatever was necessary to achieve the company's success and therefore their personal individual growth. Contrast that with the UK or Europe, people obviously are a lot more sensitive to it's 5 p.m. I'm going home. But the opportunities in a place like China, and I think somewhat in the U.S. still are so great that if you do work hard and you do push yourself, you will get the reward. And if you don't get that reward, then why put in the extra effort? So those were two contrasting perspectives.
Hmm. Yeah, because we all get the same 86,400 seconds every day. It's what we do with it that makes the difference, yep. Right? And that's always the challenge. And I'm assuming you've been able to hire teams, and you've also inherited teams as a young leader. Because we're seeing Gen Z today being promoted to lead teams, not necessarily hiring teams. As you went into that environment as a young leader of a team that you inherited, what were some of the learning lessons that you, things you might know now that you wish you knew then, or missteps that you might have had inheriting a team and leading it? as a younger individual of an older team to help our some of our Gen Z listeners that are leading teams today. They didn't get to pick them. They just get to do the job, right?
Yeah, great, great. Another great question. I wish I knew then that you, if you want to go fast, if you want to go fast, you're going to go alone. If you want to kind of bring people along with them, you've got to moderate your pace. You've got to sometimes not reduce your expectations, but right-size your expectations for people. Because I would say in my early career, I held everyone to the same standard I held myself to, which was, you know, put in the hours and win and expect high things of people. And when you're individually recruiting, when you're recruiting your entire team, that's kind of okay because you're recruiting people that meet your requirements and meet your characteristics. But when you inherit a team, not everyone has the same ambition. And I don't mean that as derogatory. Like, like success to them means getting home to their family. Success to them means having enough money to enjoy life and that's it. And so holding everyone to the same kind of characteristics, ambitions that I had and standards that I had, that was probably quite tiring for a large part of my organization. And so realizing that you have to slow things down, sometimes spend an extensive amount of time communicating what you want to achieve and why. I think also patience. So you can sometimes achieve 80% of the results with 50% of the effort. I wish I kind of had learned that a little bit more when I was younger. The third one is like 9 times out of 10, it's going to be okay. Like things work themselves out. They're not, you know, it's not every little thing is as important as you think it is. And I think as I've evolved as a leader, I realize that it's the critical few things that I do and I decide that really move the needle. It's not the hundreds of decisions that you can make in a day. It's not reacting to everything you witness in a day. It's a handful of key decisions that you make in a week or a month that really move the needle. And I think those have been some of my evolutions.
So when you look in today's workforce, so kind of pivoting to today's workforce, what are some trends that you're actually seeing now that are kind of like surprising?
I feel like I'm going to sound like an old man. That's why I was kind of pausing with my answer because for the longest part of my career, I felt like I was the young generation, the young person in the room. And now it's finally caught up with me because there's the new generations coming to the workforce. And what surprises me, maybe not surprise, but suddenly I have to keep reminding myself of work-life balance, mental health. What's the social focus of the company? Not being patient to get the next opportunity, like wanting it very quickly. I wouldn't say surprises me, but I got to constantly remind myself that they come from a different generation with a different background and a different experience, and therefore that's the way they're wired. Whereas I wasn't wired that way, and I guess typically the generation I came from wasn't wired that way. You got a new generation that has access to so much information. And they have access to so much opinion, and they're looking for a company that cares about more so in Europe than North America. You know, because obviously I've got experience in Asia, in Europe, and North America, in Europe in particular. But I think in North America, the upcoming generation want to know what's your views on helping society, what's your views on, you know, ESG and things like that. These are all things that I have to constantly remind myself that matters to them.
And what have you seen kind of as the younger generation keeps is entering the workforce more and more, how have you seen the integration into the workplace? Meaning, you know, the expectations of like the millennials and the Gen X of the new generation coming in, of the Gen Zs coming into the workforce. What have you seen that's been positive, but also what have you seen like, seriously, knock it off.
I think from a positive perspective, they're typically very entrepreneurial. They have good marketing skills. Like, you know, the access that they have to kind of social media and then what that drives and that way they position their lives to their friends and their peers really gives them great marketing abilities, brand management, tech skills. And so I think these are a lot of skill sets that can be tapped into as an employer. I think what drives people the older generation's somewhat crazy in places is that lack of patience. Like, you know, the idea of waiting 3 years until you get your next role, like that, I feel like that's quite antiquated now. I feel like it's like people want it much, much, much quicker. And I think that drives people of a different generation a little bit crazy. I think the focus on mental health, you know, and work-life balance, but there's the world, and, you know, generations are changing, and I think we have to adapt to it. And they're probably onto something as well. Like the idea of working all hours and taking your phone on vacation and opening a laptop on vacation and not separating, they're probably onto something. I don't think it's all bad. What do you think? What do you guys think?
It's not. So, COVID, like, COVID accelerated that.
Correct.
So, you know, the millennials, I think, had the right idea of that work-life balance. Pre-COVID, I think it was the wrong approach. And then during COVID, we learned how to be able to adapt to that and see that that is a good idea and a good opportunity. And now that we're coming out of the post-COVID era of we want teams back in the office to create that culture and that sense of belonging and that community and that sense of purpose for some of the older leaders that want to be back to the way it was, we're creating a major animosity and problem. Like there's four companies here in Milwaukee that are trying to get everybody back in the office, and people are quitting like all over the place because they don't want to go back into the office. They want to work from home. They want to be able to do their thing, but the leadership wants to be able to create that opportunity to transfer knowledge. Because if I'm in an office, I can hear your conversation, David, in the cubicle next to me, and I can learn from that and support one another. I can't do that from my living room and their living room because we're not on the same phone calls. We're not hearing all those things. And you're in a high customer service world, and some of those conversations are really important over here when that customer has a concern. And I guess how are you guys seeing it in your world, David, as well, from office, not in the office, and being able to handle that customer service and communicate those needs and wants across all folks if they're not in the office or if they are in the office?
Yeah, so I would say the majority of our businesses and employees have reacted well to the idea of being back in the office. There is one or two parts of our business, and I think it's generationally driven, where they're like, they're quite resistant to being back in the office, but overall they've accepted it well. You know, I was obviously in Europe during COVID and post COVID before I came back to North America. They were much more resistant to the idea of being in the office, and so hybrid really took off in Europe. I do believe, and I think it's similar to what you said, Brad, is that it's very hard to collaborate and to learn and to have shared goals if you're all working virtually. When you're working virtually, it's easy to get distracted. And so we all enjoy the ability of having a 2 minute commute, right? From your bedroom to your office. but the reality is you lose so much interaction. And as a leader, how do you make a step change in an organization, or how do you turn an organization around, or how do you drive a new strategy if your employees are all working from home? Like this, it's very difficult. So I'm a big believer in being in the office. Come to the office, do a good job, make money, go spend that money in your personal time to go have some and go enjoy yourself. I'm also a big believer that when you are off from work, you're completely off from work. Like detach, enjoy yourself.
I find that so for me, going back to the previous question, I'll kind of blend it into this last one. You know, for the hustlers, go to the rewards. Right. If you don't, I don't care about what generation you are. If you're going to hustle and you're going to put in the time, if you want to work 20 hours a day, work 20 hours a day. But, you know, if you're kind of sitting back with the expectation of, hey, why not me? Why this person? Well, did this person out hustle you? Did this person outwork you? What are they doing? So I often see a lot, and regardless of which generation, it's the, oh, hey, well, I've been here longer than this person, but I'm getting passed over, or I'm not getting a job quick enough, or getting moved up the ladder quick enough, and this other person is. Why? And I often find that it's more because somebody is actually out hustling somebody else, right? Yep. It goes back to the
But I'm going to go back to what David said, though, Steve, and argue with you a little bit, right? I can achieve more results with less effort, right?
Well, you,
because you've seen people, you've seen people put 20 hours a week in and get 3 hours of the work done.
Well, that yes, correct, and that's not what I'm talking about, right?
Okay, I just want to get clarity.
I'm not talking about time. I'm not talking about just sitting in the seat, you know, smacking your hands on the keyboard, doing absolutely nothing. It's about there's a results aspect to it.
Okay.
Right.
Just if you're clarity producing on that for you.
Yes. If you're producing results and hustling to get those results, by far, I'm always going to reward that person more than somebody else that isn't putting in the effort, that the same level of effort. They could still be doing their job and doing it just fine, but I'm going to spend more time rewarding the person that's actually out hustling and moving the needle quicker.
Yeah.
And then and I also reward the person that prefers the human interaction.
Yeah.
Versus, hey, sit back, do things remotely.
Yeah.
Right. So I have that me personally. But can you do it remotely? Yeah. But we're humans. We crave a human interaction, a face-to-face interaction. But I'm also fine with I don't need to be there every day.
You want your cake and eat it too, is what I'm hearing.
Well, I mean, I'm fine going in 4 days. I don't need to come in every day.
Really? How are you hustling if you're not coming in every day?
Well, ooh, that's a great question.
Right? Your words, not mine.
Uh-huh.
do you have a hybrid office right now, David, or what do you guys have?
We have hybrid in one of our business units. It's actually a talking point because we haven't got standardization, but the rest of the business is 5 days a week in the office with the exception of one.
Mm-hmm.
I do think hybrid working probably isn't going to go away anytime soon. People have got a taste for it and they like it. And so as much as I'd prefer people to be in the office, I think if you want to attract and retain talent, you probably have to keep an open mind to the discussion. And I think, you know, you've both said 3 or 4 days,
mm-hmm.
that might be the right balance of being effective. I having worked in Europe, Asia, and North America, I do feel quite strongly that like the US has to keep that kind of hustling mentality that no one, people, the government and societies are going to take care of me. I have to go and take care of myself. I have to go and earn it. And we have to make sure that the upcoming generations maintains that hustle mentality. Because I can tell you, coming from Asia, they're hustling. They're busting ass. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, as we try and work this out and right size the approach here in the US, whatever we do, we can't lose that, you know, playing on your words, Steve, like that hustling mentality, because that's what made America great and that's what's gonna keep America great.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's finding ways to do it. Now, if we can create the result faster and more effective to get that time back, then great. That just gives us more time to then innovate to the next thing. And that's the that's the part that I think we're somewhat losing. We're losing some of that innovation in the hybrid world, in my opinion, because there's not the collaboration of what if. There's not that pressure of, oh, I see Billy over there doing something pretty cool. I can do that better than Billy. So let me see what I can do on that and present it. And now let me work with Billy to make this really cool thing or change this process or do something. That innovation, I think, is stalling in many, many organizations that have gone to either a full remote or partial remote type opportunity.
Right.
Because there was a lot of stupid shit I did in my corporate life that never would have happened if we didn't try something because we had people talking about, hey, could we make this work? Could this work?
Mm-hmm.
It might. Let's try it. Let's see if it does and get the two or three people on board, run it through the system, see if we get the right output. No? Okay, great. Yeah. Let's back all the stuff out and let's redo it.
I agree.
And go, oh, hey, I need to talk to the accounting person because I just sent out an invoice that I shouldn't have. Fuck. Can we delete that, please, really quick for us? Because I can't delete it. I'm authorized to delete that. Made a mistake. Can you do that for me? Try to do that with a phone call. Good luck.
I think just like so much gets lost in communication over email. Like the ability to have constructive confrontational discussions. Like if you're doing it in person, it's much more healthy than if you do it over a, like a Teams message or an email. So like, yeah, I'm generally a supporter of being in the office. Let's come to work. Let's win. Let's make money, and then go enjoy yourself and your personal time.
Mm-hmm. How are you communicating winning to your team on a regular basis? Are you communicating that through a newsletter, regular communications, one-on-one conversations? How are you doing that with your team to define winning?
We spend a huge amount of time engaging the workforce to define what the success means to us. Like, what's the definition of success? And getting their input into how we're going to achieve it. And then from there, we tie the majority of the organization's KPIs to that success, to executing that strategy. So it could be productivity on a manufacturing line. It could be on time and in full for a warehouse. It could obviously be customer satisfaction and the customer care team. So you're creating connectivity between every single department and individual in that department to how they enable the success that you've defined with the entire organization, which in our case is ultimately EBITDA. And then we have visual management boards all around our business sites showing those KPIs. We tie incentive plans to those KPIs, so everyone gets obviously a financial reward and they're aware of that. And then we communicate how we're tracking holistically in a quarterly town hall. And typically what I do now is on a monthly basis, I'll send out a short note to the organization to say how the month did. And then we have a larger discussion on a quarterly town hall. Mm-hmm. We're very black and white. We have like red and green color codes, like you're winning or you're losing. Mm-hmm. And when we win, we celebrate. Like, we celebrate success as frequently as we can.
Mm-hmm. So I'll assume that you finished that conversation. And then my follow-up question for you, David, on that is, you kind of talked earlier about how generations seem like they want to advance faster, go quicker. Have you structured your pay as such that you're paying people for results that they're producing, or more from a time in seat in order to achieve that promotion or opportunity?
Yeah, another great question for performance. Yeah, so their variable is tied to performance of the company. A portion is to the company, and a portion of it's to their individual contributions to the business. I'm biased because of my background was at a young age I got kind of senior roles, and so I'm a big believer that just sitting around for a long period of time isn't exclusively the definition of success. It's how do you drive value to the organization?
Yes. Fantastic. Cool.
So if people want to connect with you or get in contact with you or learn more about your organization, how do they find you, David?
So LinkedIn's the best. So you can search David Hewitt, CEO, Charlotte, North Carolina. I'll pop up instantly.
Perfect. And we're going to do our best here with the rapid fire questions. So, dumbest thing you ever heard in a meeting?
we can't control results.
Okay.
Oh man. Yes.
Okay. Wow. beer, bourbon, or I'm a kombucha person.
Out of those three, bourbon.
Okay. Coffee or energy drink?
Coffee.
Favorite go-to curse word?
Bollocks.
All right. Favorite candy?
Kit Kat.
Text or call?
Text.
You're a Gen X, right? Are you sure? Are you sure? You had to check. You had to ask Siri if you were a Gen X, and now you're saying text.
That's a millennial move right there.
Ooh, I don't know. We might have to take you with your Gen X card. Early bird or night owl?
Early morning.
Most overused phrase at work?
Let's take it offline.
Best pizza topping?
Oh, pepperoni.
Favorite movie quote?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. I think just because my dad loved that movie and he quoted it quite a bit.
Okay. This will be interesting for the boss, for everyone else to hear it. Biggest pet peeve at work?
people saying they're going to take it offline, because I know that that means they just don't know the answer, or they don't want to talk about it. Right. Yeah.
favorite music.
Oh, I love jazz. Okay. I love it.
Mm. Yeah. Favorite sport.
football, but international English football. Yeah, soccer, okay. As you call it.
I wasn't sure if you're going to go on the cricket path or some rugby or some other things. Wasn't sure. So, okay.
Yeah, rugby would be second. Yeah.
Yeah. Bucket list vacation location.
So I went to Burma, Myanmar, and that is like really hard to get to, really hard. But I absolutely loved it. I think beyond that, I haven't been, but I'd like to go to Cuba.
Okay. Hmm.
Hopefully I don't get arrested for saying that. But yes, if I could, that's where I'd go.
Should living or dead, who would you want to have a conversation with?
My dad would be the easiest answer to that. But after that, it would be an American general called George Patton. I'd love to have a conversation with him. World War II general.
Yep. Interesting. Yeah. Awesome. That would be a very interesting conversation for sure, because he was a very interesting guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'll ask it anyhow. We'll go to the last question. You're a Gen X guy. We'll go to this route. Ginger or Marianne?
Ginger or Marianne?
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island. TV show.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay.
Thank you for the reference.
I wasn't sure. Sorry. I'd give it a shot, but it's okay. I'd give it a shot. We'll go from there. But thank you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom. Thank you for sharing the experiences and the international flavor with our audience. Because I think it's important for us to recognize we aren't the only place on this planet, and that with immigration, with different things, with opportunities, with globalization of the workforce, it's really important to understand some of those things. So thank you for some of those insights.
Yeah. Thanks for your time, guys.
Yeah. All right. Have an amazing weekend.
Yes. Thanks, David.
You too, guys. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.